Episode 5, The Writing Caddy, World Building. Hello, Father.
Hello, Daughter. What are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to talk about world building.
And this is probably a podcast where I'm going to hand over to you completely, Meg, because I don't really write, well, I don't write fantasy fiction, and world building typically is for fantasy. So here we go. When you're actually constructing your story, do you start off with the characters or the plot or the world?
Typically, and this is going to change for every person as they write, typically for me, I tend to start with the actual land. I start with drawing a map and sort of marrying it to a concept. So I tend to start by just kind of scrawling around, just drawing funny shapes and that sort of thing in relation to one another. But recently, one of my friends actually sent me a computer program that helps you to generate a map, a fantasy map. And so you input things like how much erosion you would like and where you would like the mountains or hills, and it helps you to construct that.
Right, and does that actually generate a map for you?
It does, yes. I tend to not use that, though. I use it as a basis to then form my own maps.
How do you produce a physical copy of a map for yourself then? Is it done using a pencil, graph paper?
I don't use a graph paper and I don't use a pencil. I get a little notebook and I use one of those lovely Artliner pens, and I just draw it that way. And so I'll usually do quite a few different copies, trying to get the right sort of feel for it, trying to get the right look for it. And then I start adding things in, so things like towns, things like forests or mountains, other countries that are surrounding the particular place that I want to focus on.
And using a Artliner pen, do you then go back and make changes to your map?
I'll write lots of notes on it, and then I'll draw another map.
Right.
So and make corrections that way.
So it is quite an evolving thing.
Absolutely. And it will continue to evolve and change as I write.
And do your maps, or are your worlds based on parts of this real world?
So when I was writing Where, I did pick and choose from different aspects of history, different cultures, all that sort of thing to develop cultures and to use them as a springboard for the different cultures and lands in Where. At the moment, I'm trying to work a little more independently. So I look at how real world cultures and histories develop and act on one another, and I try and apply those principles to more imagined worlds.
Okay, and what about world conflicts? Do you incorporate some of our world conflicts in your created world?
I certainly use them to look at how different political factions act off one another, but I try not to draw too heavily or too obviously on real-world conflicts, and I try to stay away from big ones or ones that have been used in a lot of different fictional mediums.
Right.
And also away from ones that are close to current times, because I know that those could also have an impact on people who've actually lived through them.
Oh, okay. And I suppose if you're building a world, and we've just talked about conflict a bit there, but if you're building a world, there are so many aspects to a world. There's climate and politics and culture. How do you decide, or how deep do you go, and how do you decide what aspects of the real world to include in your artificial world?
Well, when I'm actually writing, I tend to include parts of the world that are going to forward the plot or impact the characters or bring something to the story. But there's always a lot more to the world around it. So as I'm writing, I come up with lots of different ideas that, oh, this happens in this country and this is why this happens. It doesn't necessarily go into the book, but it's there. Like, it's like the iceberg theory, you know, so you have a little bit on top that goes into the book and there's a lot more below the surface.
And I suppose typically you would include more of your own interests in the novel.
Absolutely. So, you know, some people, I know I listened to a podcast on world building this morning by Victoria Schwab, and she was saying, well, she uses language to develop her world and to give insight to her world. I tend to use food. I absolutely love to cook. I love cooking all different sorts of cuisines, and I find that using food is a good way to show what sort of trade people use in particular islands, what their agriculture's like. So I use food as an avenue to explore the culture and the world.
Okay, Doc. So my next question to Meg is, do your characters decide on the creation of your world, or does your world decide what happens to the characters and the plot of your story?
It's a little bit of both. So because I tend to start with a concept and with a map, that's obviously going to have an effect on how the characters live. So, you know, if a character's living on an island, that's going to affect how they relate to other people if they are quite isolated again. But also I try to leave it a little bit open so that the characters can also act on the world, and I can decide, oh, I need to change this in the world to make things more difficult for a character or to give character a chance to develop. So they influence each other, really.
Right, so your plot is determined by your world.
A lot of it is, yes, absolutely.
And the world is determined by your plot.
Every time.
Okay. Meg, I once submitted a story to an editor, and the editor said my world needed more consolidation. It needed to become more real to the reader. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that usually when I'm world building, I go back to basic biology. So I took biology in year 12, and it was mainly to help me with my fantasy world building. So looking at the adaptations that different animals will have to different environments, and the same with plants. And then that way if you're creating animals or plants from scratch, you're creating them realistically so they could actually thrive in that world. And that sort of thing just grounds it and makes sure that you keep in touch with reality. It makes it a lot more accessible to readers, I think.
Meg, you spend a lot of time world building before you actually start writing. How much time do you spend world building?
Well, it's an ongoing process. So before I put pen to paper, it's pretty much every waking moment for at least a couple of weeks coming up with these different ideas and drawing maps, sort of coming up with animals, coming up with plants, even if I never use them. And then as I'm writing, the world is constantly evolving around it. So really, you know, if a book takes 10 years to write, then it takes 10 years to build that world. So yeah, it's one of those things that never really ends. But especially before I'm writing, I usually give it a couple of weeks just to get it down on paper and to start going through those ideas. And then I start to write.
Fantastic. If your world does not fit in with the plot or the story that you wanted to write, would you consider stopping and starting again, building a new world?
Well, I think because the world builds with the plot, usually that hasn't been too much of a problem for me yet. Right. Knock on wood.
Okay, fantastic. So finally, Meg, how important is your world building to your fantasy writing?
I think it's quite central. I think it sets the tone for the book. It influences the characters and it influences the plot. So I think for me, world building is really one of the most important parts of my fantasy writing.
Okay.
That's it for now.
Goodbye, daughter.
Goodbye, father.